Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. As I come to light the Christ candle, I am aware that in the United States of America, tomorrow, Monday, is recognized as Martin Luther King Day. Most of us know the I Have a Dream speech. Many of us have heard the letter from a Birmingham jail. Well, today I invite you to hear Dr. King's prayer for the church. To hear the prayer and recognize not only the light of Christ in his faithful words, but the light that shines when love becomes action and faith finds feet. Lord, we thank you for your church, founded upon your word. The word that challenges us to do more than sing and pray, but go out and work as though the very answer to our prayers depended on us and not upon you. Help us to realize that humanity was created to shine like the stars and live on through all eternity. Keep us, we pray, in perfect peace. Help us to walk together. Pray together. Sing together and live together until that day when all God's children, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, will rejoice in one common band of humanity in the reign of our Lord. Of our God. We pray. Amen. The light of Christ. Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit."
And then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And altogether, there were about 12 of them.
Today's gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Oh, times have changed. You know, in the early days of the church, things were crazy. No, I mean, just crazy. See, this new thing had happened. Jesus. And Jesus, well, he taught in parables, and he imagined a world more compassionate than reasonable. Right? More compassionate than reasonable. I mean, turning the other cheek. That's crazy talk. Feeding thousands of people with limited resources. Outrageous. And in the shadow of cruel and foolish dictators and political unrest and an expanding military empire of Rome, he preached hope and love. He insisted that being rich and powerful was not the way to happiness or a better world for anybody. Imagine. He preached forgiveness and economic justice and love. Yeah, crazy times. Pilate was the governor, and he was known to be violent and unstable. Known for that. People were afraid of what he might do next, and from time to time, in private, they rolled their eyes at his gall, and they gave thanks that he was not going to go after them next. At least they hoped. And the church was so entwined, intermeshed with empire that it had lost its voice of compassion and love and was now far more concerned with who was in, who was out, personal holiness, and how to keep peace with the crazy man and the powerful empire. Like I said, weird times. And into those weird times, Jesus revealed God's presence and preached hope. Wow. I don't know how we can even begin to relate to that. And of course, there was that way that Jesus quietly resisted the pull of popular culture. You know, Rome and war, violence, commerce. A way that would lead him to be arrested and tried, convicted, and executed by the state. trumped-up charges, kangaroo court, and a sentence far worse than the crimes alleged. And through it all, he preached hope and love. It was all falling apart around him, and he kept preaching hope and love. And death did not hold him. Victory by the empire was not inevitable after all. Injustice would not win the day. Because you see, after he was buried and gone, he arose within his community. He was alive. And the community, it grew. The roads used to move troops across the empire to new battlefields, the highways used to move goods that would fill the pockets of business leaders, were also the way that the word spread. His followers shared the stories, the love, and the hope across that vast empire that was Rome. Crazy times. And naturally, there were some groups who got the whole message and some who got parts. Some communities cherished and focused on a set of stories, each one different from the others. And there were many Gospels. We have four of them in our scriptures, each one a little different as communities engaged with and were changed by the stories of Jesus. It should come as no surprise that not all communities saw baptism the same way. In Acts, you know, sort of a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, we hear of Paul in Ephesus meeting with some disciples who have been baptized, but don't have the same understanding of baptism. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, we've never even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Well, into what then were you baptized? Well, into John's baptism. John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who would come after him. That's Jesus. Ah, no kidding. So Paul set them straight, probably redid their baptism certificates, because there's always paperwork. And then it says that Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's a great story. I mean, it's a wonderful story about Paul correcting some errant ecclesiology and theology. And who doesn't love a story about errant ecclesiology and theology? Wow. But before we put the story away, what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit? Like, really, what does it mean? The Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? You know, the third aspect of the Trinity, co-equal with Father and Son, the blowy, windy part of God. Yeah, it doesn't sound right. I'll find a better way to put that, but maybe I'll edit this part out. But you get what I'm talking about, right? What's the Spirit? Well, let's consider the baptism of Jesus. Baptized by John in the river, and in this moment, Jesus has stripped down to go into the water. In telling the story, it's not just Jesus taking off a cloak or a hoodie to get into the water. No, I think it's a chance for us to strip down Jesus as well. I mean, I kind of like the fact that we've moved so quickly from Christmas to baptism, right? Baby Jesus, already young man Jesus. Just like that, in a couple of weeks. And in his baptism, we take off the angels and the shepherds, the magi and the manger. There's no Christmas carols. Those have all been stripped away. And even further, in this moment of his baptism, there is no feeding of the 5,000. There's no Sermon on the Mount. We have yet to hear even a single parable. No tables have been shoved around the temple. There have been no healings, no arrests, no conviction, no death, no resurrection. Strip it all away. All of that is gone. Just as Jesus did as he wades into the water. All gone. Strip away the miracles. This is before Jesus was co-opted by people who are fighting over livable wage or abortion rights or immigration or elections, wars, land, all of that. No. All the agendas, strip them away. They're all gone. He's not for or against anybody. Just Jesus going into the water. And this child of God went under the water. And when he emerged, the Spirit happened. Some would describe it as a voice. The voice of God saying, "This is my Son, of whom I am well pleased." Some imagined it as a dove descending from above. Whatever the experience was, it must have been something because they began to follow Jesus, right? You and I, we can take this stuff for granted, right? Of course they followed Jesus. I mean, he's awesome, right? But let me remind you that in this moment, Jesus has been stripped down. No miracles, no Sermon on the Mount, no Good Friday or Easter, no popular culture endorsing Jesus, no Lord's Prayer in or out of schools. Nobody's bringing their children to Sunday school to learn the stories or recite the words. There is just Jesus, a guy from Nazareth. And can any good come out of Nazareth? And there's the Spirit, right? There's the Spirit. I know a fella named Jackson. And Jackson's been to school, but never really finished a degree or a program. He's worked in a couple of restaurants, washing dishes, played in a band for a while. Thought he might like to be an actor, but, you know, that didn't pan out. Had an idea for a business for delivering food, but, well, that didn't really happen. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention when he told me his stories because, well, who pays attention? You know, he's aimless. Who pays attention to aimless people? I mean, seriously, Jackson, get a focus. Pick a career. Get a job. Take a path. Go that way. Follow through. These are important steps. If you want people to believe in you, well, invest in you. You can't be some kind of would-be carpenter who wanders away from his parents and gets lost at the temple, who follows John, but nah, not really, who resists the government but won't actually call them out and confront them, who teaches in riddles and stories instead of just focusing and telling people exactly what to do. You can't be vague and aimless. People want a very precise business plan, or they will not invest, they will not believe. Unless you have the Spirit. That's the Spirit. Amy's not exactly homeless. She just couch surfs a lot. Sleeps in her car from time to time. Yeah, she's checked into shelter a couple of times when things are really bad, but, well, when you first meet her, I mean, she's presentable. Yeah, she's got a nice smile. She speaks well. Of course, when you hear that she sleeps in her car or that she's been homeless or that she couch surfs, well, you begin to wonder about the people she hangs out with and the things that she's done to keep a roof over her head. And, well, you realize that she's probably not somebody that you want to have around your kids or your friends. Because, you know, you can't be trusted around kids or cherished by family if you hang around high-risk people engaging in dubious behavior. You can't be credible if you don't have a place to live. Unless you have the Spirit. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty busy guy. You know, I read at least two newspapers a day. I've got my online news feed. I watch news on TV. I get updates on my phone. I also have a job and a family. I collect wine and vinyl records. You know, I like to carve out a little bit of time for myself every now and again. What I'm saying is that I'm busy. And I don't always have time to read deeply behind the headlines, you know, look behind the memes. I just don't have that time. I've got stuff going on. I certainly don't have time to research or confirm the sources for news that I hear, you know, so I just take shortcuts. Because most of the time, you know what, I know that when somebody is arrested, they're guilty. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know it. I know it. That guy they arrested isn't guilty of the crime for which he's been charged. He's probably guilty of something else, something we don't know about, So I'm not going to worry too much about the details. Bad guys are going where they're supposed to go. Good guys are doing their job. Cops are usually right. I mean, you know, they got a bad guy. Good. Get him off the streets. And if he's tried and convicted, well, then there's very little chance that he's not guilty. I mean, come on. Think of the guilty people we know who've gotten away with it. Man, if this guy was not guilty, he'd have been set free. So naturally, I am disinclined to believe, trust, or follow somebody who's been arrested. People worthy of my trust and my faith, they're not the kind of people who get arrested. And I certainly won't be following somebody who's been tried and found guilty of a crime. I don't even need to know what the crime is, okay? If it's a crime to do what he's done, well, then he has violated society's standard for living in community. He's the very definition of antisocial. I don't want to be around that. You don't trust, follow, or have faith in people who are antisocial. Unless you have the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? For me, the Holy Spirit is what draws me to Jesus before any of the stories I tell about Jesus have even happened. And it's the Spirit that keeps me with Jesus when these things are happening. It's that presence of God. It's the essence and inspiration of hope that makes for me a seemingly aimless, often homeless lawbreaker and convict, the primary revelation of God's love in and for the world. It's the power that moves through willing people and brings order to chaos, light to darkness, and hope to troubled times. It is that still, small, quiet voice that inspires us to resist racism, privilege, profit, and power. Just resist all of that, even when it benefits us in the short term and rots our souls in the long term. It is the hope that change will happen and that what begins in my kitchen can actually move throughout the world and topple tyrants, move hearts, and save lives. The Spirit insists, in fact, that it does actually start in my kitchen, in my workplace, in my coffee shop, in my worship service. It starts there and it grows. It starts simply. Jesus stripped down to be baptized. All of that was gone. The Spirit made an outsider the center of my faith and invites me to take my faith and move it out into the world. And so the Holy Spirit is what invites me and equips me to listen to those who seem aimless or at odds with my wisdom. Demands and strengthens me to see the dignity in every human being, regardless of circumstance. It teaches me how to see with my heart as well as my eyes, to offer more than minimum for those in need and never take anyone's dismissal for granted. It's the Spirit that insists that I bring the outsider in, into my consideration, into my focus, into my love. It's the Holy Spirit that draws me to Jesus now, just as it did for others 2,000 years ago. Draws me to Jesus to see God at work, God at play, God in love with the world. The Spirit gives me hope. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Into what then were you baptized? Oh, I don't know, a baptism of acceptance and complacence, an understanding that some things are never going to change, a baptism of believing that there's probably nothing that I can do about it, a baptism that's entirely, well, reasonable and doesn't need to listen to, you know, convicts and homeless people, one that looks, I don't know, inward and avoids the margins. There is another baptism. It's in the Holy Spirit. No kidding. Okay, that's the one that I want. I want the one that changes me and changes the world. As then, so today, remember into what you have been baptized. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Baptized, immersed, or simply surrounded by the Spirit, we pray. Seeing the world through your eyes, God, we see such beauty in the lives that you have created, in all of the life that you have created. From the grass that lies dormant in winter, to the crops that flourish around the world, feeding your children, our family. From the animals that run free in the open spaces, to the pets that companion and sustain us. May we live gently upon this planet. May we love all of creation. We see the beauty in the face of a stranger and wish to aid in any struggle that they may have. For food, for peace, for security, for dignity. Let us be loving allies and not simply opportunists. God, we need to see our sibling in our enemy, but sometimes we need your help. God, we need your love to give us the courage to love when it would be easier to despise. Your love to open our hearts when it would be easier to remain closed and self-assured. Oh God, let us be daring and help us to love all of your creation instead of just our familiar and favorite parts. Precious God, let us be sustained and led by your Spirit to see the world anew and to engage hopefully where before we might have turned away. Immanent God, who is expressed and experienced in spirit, let that same spirit that opens us to your creation open us to ourselves. We wish to be whole and hopeful. And so we ask for healing and for strength. We ask for your presence and guidance as we make the choices that best shape our lives and the life of our community. Let us forgive and be forgiven. Let us accept and embrace. Let us be courageous and brave. Let us be loving. We pray in the Holy Spirit and in the words that Jesus taught us when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth in the Spirit. Go forth from this moment and into the world, knowing that God the Creator loves you, knowing that Jesus walks with you, walks with us all. But most importantly today, knowing that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills you, surrounds and fills each and every one of us, making it impossible not to hope equipping us to love the world. So go in love, go in hope. Amen.